This week we'll conclude the teaching on deliverance healing, and then we're going to have a short teaching on God's retirement plan.
Strong negative emotions often invite demons to hang around us. And I'll tell you what I think. I don't have any scripture on this, and so this is just Dan's opinion, and you can take it for that. I think that demonic spirits, unclean spirits, feed on our negative emotions. Just like I like Mendazi, they like my anger. I like Mokimo, they like my unforgiveness or my depression or whatever it is. And so it's like it builds them up or makes them stronger. And the more I operate in that negative emotion, the stronger they get around me. And so they're encouraging me to continue in that because that feeds them. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? I don't know if it's true or not, but at least it's one of those theories of the world that seems to make sense. Once upon a time, see if I can tell this story without my wife hurting me. Once upon a time, a co-worker, no, maybe it was somebody that was part of a home group. I don't remember now. But anyway, a single woman kissed me at the end of a night. You know, and sometimes you'll hug somebody and give them a kiss on the cheek or the ear or something like that. No, she kissed me on the lips. So it kind of surprised me, but I didn't think much of it. But to Debbie, it was traumatic. We know we've been married probably, what, 6 months or something, newly married, my Mohiki. And that opened a door for a spirit of jealousy to come in, see, and light in Debbie. And finally, Debbie realized that that's what was happening, and that every time she felt these feelings of jealousy, it exacerbated the work that that demon was doing. It was just making it worse. It was just compounding it. Of course, she realized that she'd believed a lie in there, and she said that there's a lie, devil. You're telling me my husband doesn't love me, and that all these kind of, I need to be jealous, and I know that's not true. And so she drove it out and ran it away.
Well, let's stop here, and next week we'll continue with deliverance healing, and we're also going to look at God's retirement plan.
So somebody asked you to ask about how we met. There was a part of the story I didn't tell. I'll finish the part of the story. When I met Debbie, I was dating 6 different girls. And after I met her, I had just one more date because I had already set that up for weeks in advance. That was it. She was mine. I mean, I knew that I was hers and that I just... I like girls, okay? But I've got the girl. I got the girl I need. So what else? Oh yeah, sure.
Now. Mm-hmm. Roommates. Two of them were sisters.
See, that means I was being a gentleman with them, or that couldn't have happened, doesn't it? Right? That just tells you I was being good. Sometimes it was difficult, but okay. Sometimes we get oppressed just by being around evil spirits. Debbie and I bought a house one time, and we began to notice almost right away that when we would go back into the bedroom area, we would start having a fight. And it was an argument. It was like, we'd never had an argument about that before. I don't even remember what the subject was, but it was about, you know, like, well, you don't like my mother, and I don't like your mother, or something. I don't know what it was. And we just thought, well, that's just... Yeah, it was every night we'd have that argument. It's like, what is up with this? That is just strange. Well, Debbie mentioned this to the real estate agent that sold us the house. She was a Christian woman, spirit-filled Christian. And immediately the woman says, oh, well, that's the reason that house went up on the market. That was the argument the people in that house were having, and they got a divorce. Well, see, what had happened was they were having that argument. Those evil spirits continued to hang out in that part of the house, and we were just innocent bystanders, you know, getting caught up by evil. But again, you have to recognize it. We drove them out, cleaned the place, and we were okay. Which reminds me, a lady asked us to go clean her house one time, and we did, and we brought communion to the house and prayed over the house, and we went into her bedroom. She was a single woman. She'd been married but was single. both Debbie and I felt like there was something unclean going on in that bedroom. We didn't know what it was. We mentioned it to her that there was something not right there, and boy, she didn't want to talk about that at all. You go pray for the other rooms if you don't like this one. And the picture of the naked woman on her walls, she was going to keep that and all these kind of things. She came to our home group a couple more times and then quit coming because there was something she wasn't willing to give up. And that was providing entrance to these demonic spirits that were tormenting her, the reason she wanted her house to be cleaned in the first place. But she wouldn't give that up, whatever it was. Let's talk about dealing with demonic spirits. We've kind of already touched on it, but I want to make sure that I clarify this. I hate, you know, the three steps to healing and the four steps to this, because we have to be so careful to be led by the Holy Spirit. But generally, this is what we have found in dealing with unclean spirits, is that there are really three steps in the process. And the first step is you have to identify the evil spirit, or you have to identify that an evil spirit is involved. Sometimes folks will act like they're being oppressed by an evil spirit when in fact they're just mentally ill. They need to be physically healed in their minds and in their brains. And you can pray deliverance over them all day long, and it's not going to do any good because they don't need deliverance. They need healing. Physical healing. By the same token, you can get it backwards just the wrong way. Oh, well, we need to send this person to a psychiatrist, let them write them some happy pills or something, when really they need to be delivered. So we need to identify that, yes, it's an evil spirit that's involved, and what is it? The second thing is that we need to drive those evil spirits away in the name, in the authority of the name of Jesus. And then the third thing is, we need to find out if there was a point of entrance, a place of weakness in that person's life that's allowing that, or a covenant that has been made, even a generational thing, something that happened before. There's an open door somewhere, and we need to make sure we have closed that door. And like I said, maybe that's the first thing that you do, is you close the door, and the second thing you do is identify. And then but no matter what it is, it usually takes those three steps. That's usually what's involved. And it's very rare that we find that someone is being oppressed by the enemy and there's not something else going on as well. They need inner healing. They need to forgive. They need spiritual healing to be forgiven or something like that. So that's not uncommon. So you just have to be patient and take your time. We've been in deliverance ministries where it's all about the show and all about the manifestation of demons, and you want everybody crying and vomiting and making screaming and all this kind of stuff. Our experience has been that you just don't have to do that. We have all the authority in the name of Jesus, and it's usually fairly easy to deal with the demonic spirits. The difficult part is often what else has gone with it, like what they won't give up or the bitterness or something like that, which may allow the demonic spirits to come back. So sometimes you have to be just patient and just take your time and see what God wants to do.
Now that's dealing with oppression, not possession.
Yeah, almost all of what I'm talking about is demon oppression or demonization. I like the word demonized. I think that's a very descriptive term for when someone is oppressed by a demon or evil spirits, but they're not necessarily possessed. Possession is different. That often gets quite loud and can take a little while, especially if you're dealing with lots of evil spirits that have been there a long, long time. This lady in Tanzania, it manifested in the meeting. Our bishop was running the meeting at the time, and he dealt with it a little bit, but she continued to disrupt the service. And he told her, he said, "You're just going to have to leave until a time where we can deal with it, because there are too many other people here that need ministry for us to spend all of our time just dealing with you. So you leave and we'll deal with you later." And he talked with her later about how she was going to have to be calm and that she couldn't let this evil spirit speak through her and that sort of thing, and was eventually able to pray with her and deliver her. She was able to be set free. But this was a situation where she was both having problems with an evil spirit, but she was also having some mental problems that came up, and she needed healing as well. But anyway, like I said, this is probably a course that we could teach over 4 or 5 meetings and really get into details and such. I think tonight it's the most important thing is that you have an understanding of your authority and that you don't have to put up with anything that the devil is doing to you. And if you feel like you're being oppressed or you just think you might be oppressed, well, let's pray about it. And let's see what the Lord has to say and what the Lord will do. Debbie and I will pray with you. Pastor Justin will pray with you. Grace, you can either pray with Debbie and I or you can pray with Pastor Justin. But anyway, we probably need some music, but not so loud we can't talk because we have to be able to communicate. We don't need to communicate with the demons necessarily so much as the people, okay? So we are wrapping up the 2014 Mission Prayer Network Conference. Mission Prayer Network has been operating for 6 years now. We know that God is going to bless this for more years. Hundreds of people pray on the Mission Prayer Network each day, and I'll bet you there are thousands of miracles that God does every month or every year because of Mission Prayer Network. And it's just a privilege to be associated with that, to know y'all, be part of that. And it's a privilege to know you're praying for me. And so you know how sometimes somebody will minister to someone and they'll say, well, I have a scripture for you. Well, I have a scripture to you for me. Okay? So open your Bibles if you can. Write this down. It's in Ephesians 6. And what I want you to do, this is what I think the Lord wants you to do, is when you think of Father Dan and Debbie, this is one of the prayers that the Lord wants you to pray for us. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 19, it's verses 19 and 20. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. So when y'all want to pray for me and you're wondering, I wonder what I ought to be praying for Father Dan, now you know. I want to share some scriptures with you this morning. It has really been kind of interesting being in this conference because I have watched God give words to certain people, and it has humbled me then to be able just to be in your presence. Like, for instance, Lord gave a word to somebody yesterday and said, you're one of my faithful servants. Well, what a privilege it is to be around one that God calls one of his faithful servants. That's pretty cool. And then one of them, one word to somebody was, you're one of my favorite intercessors. Wow. Okay, I get to hang around with one of God's favorite intercessors. That's pretty cool. I like this. We appreciate y'all. I do feel like, Grace and I talked about this, and I just feel like I do need to share a little of the word with you about a topic that I think is important for us to keep in front of us. It's real easy. We get busy in life, and we get to going and cooking and sometimes watching the news and get depressed. And I mean, you know, the things are going on, family, and we just forget who we really are and what it means to really serve God. And so I want to share a few scriptures with you this morning. Let's start in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verses 15 and 16. Actually, we're just going to read verse 15, I think. I want to give you a picture of how God thinks about us. And really, in some ways, what he expects of us because of that. So the first part of this scripture says, for thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place. Now, who do you think that is that's speaking? Who would you say that's got to be? That's got to be God the Father, right? So check out the next part of this verse. This is pretty incredible. See, he says, I live in a high and holy place. And then he says, I also live with the one who has a contrite and lowly spirit in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. God says, I want to live in and with human beings. Oh, by the way, the only ones I can do that with are the ones that are humble and contrite. But this is God in the Old Testament expressing his desire to have an intimate relationship with us, an intimate personal relationship. Now, turn to, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No, let's start in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you, now that word you there is the Greek word for you as an individual. This is one of the things I like about the South, is we have figured out that when you say you as an individual and you as a bunch of people, it just doesn't make sense. So in the South, we came up with this word y'all. So when you say you, that means a single person. And then when you say y'all, that means a bunch of people. So I got a question for you. So what's plural for y'all? All y'all. Yeah, that's right. All y'all. So anyway, when he's talking here, he says, do you not know that you as individuals, you individually, are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. For do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Remember Jesus said, he is with you, but he shall be in you? Paul is reminding us that that's the case, that the Holy Spirit is in us, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We have a van that we drive much of the time, especially when we're going to events and we need to take people with us. It's really nice to have that van because it's got lots of seats, got lots of room, it's easy to travel in. But we also have a pickup truck. And that pickup truck, I put loads of rock in it and loads of dirt in it and lumber and cross ties and all kinds of stuff. It was made to carry that kind of stuff that you use to work around the farm, the ranch. You can't put that in the van. So they were built for different reasons. Listen to me this morning. You are purpose-built to carry the Spirit of God. There is no other creature that we know of, no angel, no demon, no animal, no other creature that God made like us. We are made to carry the Spirit of God. We are made so that the Holy Spirit of God can dwell in us, and he wants to live in us. When it's talking about we're his temple, sometimes we make that kind of a religious thing and, well, I got to make sure I keep my temple holy. Well, yeah, that's true, but, you know, think about it for a minute. When you walk into a room, let's say you're a nurse, you're a caregiver, and they call a staff meeting. When you walk into that room, you walk into that room carrying the Holy Spirit of God into that room. When you walk into a patient's room to care for someone who is sick or dying, you're walking in, and when you touch them, you are literally touching them with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. But we don't think about that. We think, well, it's just me going in there to change their diaper or whatever it is. You know, no. We need to purposely think about this. We need to be intentional about the idea that when I walk, I'm walking with the power of God. I'm walking with the Holy Spirit of God in me, and he wants to operate through me with spiritual gifts to touch people and to do miracles, and to do miracles for me too. This is what he wants. I've got friends who talk about, some of them have been talking about retiring for 20 years, and they're looking forward to retiring. One of them wants to get a cabin on a lake and get a boat so that he can fish all the time. That's all he wants. He wants to retire and go fishing. That's what he wants to do. There's another guy, a good friend of mine, that's a golfer, and his idea of the perfect retirement is to buy a condo in a golfing community so that he can golf anytime he wants to. That's what he wants to do for retirement. So now I want you to think about something. So what does God want to do for retirement? What's on God's heart? What does he want to do for the rest of eternity? Well, let's look at that. Turn to Revelation 21. So would you say that after Jesus has had his thousand-year reign, and then the new Jerusalem arrives, that's sort of the end of things for earth, right? I mean, it says that the earth will be burned up, it'll be gone, there'll be going to be a new heaven, a new earth. So, okay, let's call that God's retirement. So what does he want to do during his retirement? Revelation 21, let's start in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle, or the house of God, is among men, and he shall live among them. And that word live there is actually the word tabernacle. Thinking of he will tabernacle with, that means to live with, to live under the same roof as. He will live among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and they shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This is God's idea of what he wants to do in retirement. He wants to spend eternity with us. He's going to give us a new body. You know, the body we have right now, if I was exposed to the direct presence of God, my body wouldn't survive. It can't. But we get new bodies. When we're resurrected, it's into a body that can not only survive, but thrive in the presence of God. See? And that's what he's waiting for. I had a vision. Really, it was a prophetic vision a few years ago. And the Lord said, he showed me a picture of King David. And he said, King David was looking forward to what you call the millennium time. Because King David knew that Jesus, Messiah, was coming to sit on his throne and was going to reign on this earth for a period of time. And God was saying, David was looking forward to that time that his descendant Jesus was going to reign over all the earth. And God said, but the time I'm looking forward to is the New Jerusalem, when everybody can be with me and I can have intimate fellowship with you in a way that I can't now. He's looking forward. If God gave you a hug, you'd die right now. He's looking forward to the day you get a body, he can give you a hug. This is how he made us. We're the only creatures that he made that we know of like that. So in our life now, let's live as if we're carrying the Holy Spirit of God with us. We're not just some guy off the street, you know. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I have the power of God in everything that I do. And I just need to be reminded of that on a regular basis, because it's so easy to forget. You know, like I said, you get busy reading the newspaper, making breakfast, driving the car, you got to get the oil changed. There's just so many things that can get in the way of the fact that God wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with us. Sometimes when we start praying, we are laboring in prayer, in intercessory prayer for someone or for something. We have a list of requests we're praying for, or we're on the prayer line and people are saying their requests and we're agreeing with them. We get so busy with the work of praying that we forget that God also wants to have a time of just personal, intimate fellowship with us. He wants to have a time when we're just sitting there drinking coffee together, talking together, and we're listening to his heart, and he's listening to our heart. My wife and I love the fact that I work out of a home office, and that means that most lunches I get to have with my wife. Matter of fact, most of the time I get to have breakfast with my wife. And we enjoy just sitting there with each other, just being with each other. That's the way we need to be with the Lord. Lord has shown me this several times about how when, and he showed me this about different people, but I know this is just generally true with God. I remember one time he gave me a word for somebody. He said, when you turn toward me and you come toward me in prayer, He said, it just makes me so excited. And I get so happy. I can hardly wait till you get close to me. We can talk together. This is the King of the universe, okay? But this is what, remember, this is what he's looking for. This is his retirement plan, man, to be with us. Let's let him do some of that now. He wants to do that now. This is why Jesus was talking about it. John said, well, I can baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Why was that so important? Because that's the way that God gets to be inside of us, live it. From the Old Testament, he's warning to do this. This is the way he gets to do it. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, and so that presence of God now lives within us all the time. Folks have talked about, well, we're leaky vessels. We need to be refilled. And for years I prayed over that. And how do we do that, Lord? How do I get refilled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, we see instances in the Bible where folks are refilled. And so I thought, well, I guess you go to church and maybe you get refilled then. I'm not sure exactly what the process is, but I know that the Holy Spirit kind of leaks out. And I need to be refilled on a pretty regular basis. And I finally realized, really, I need to be filled every day. And what I think, for me, I think when I begin to pray in tongues, it's like the Lord takes the picture of the Holy Spirit and just starts pouring it in me. And so when I'm driving around, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm mowing the lawn, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm unloading dirt out of that truck, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm walking up the stairs to get a cup of coffee, I'm praying in tongues. And as I do that, I can tell the Lord is refilling me. I am staying full of the Holy Spirit all the time. I think most of the time when I'm praying in tongues like that, I'm just praising the Lord. I'm just worshiping him. What a great way to have intimate fellowship with him. A lot of times, I can just feel him with me. There are times I'm driving along on the road, the freeway, praying in tongues, and it's like the Lord says, you need to change lanes now. You need to move over to the left. Okay. And you move over to the left, and then this guy that was right beside me, comes over into my... Well, he'd have hit me if I hadn't moved. But, because I'm just in the Spirit, even though I'm driving around on the freeway, I'm in the Spirit. I'm like John was on the Isle of Patmos. I'm just going to stay in the Spirit as much as I can. That's what God wants. And I like it, too. And so sometimes we just have to take the cares of the world and let go of them and say, I'm just going to spend some time with my Lord. I love doing that. I love the first thing that I like to do in the morning is I want to get up and I want to read the Word some and just spend some time with him, Intimate fellowship with him. He's looking for that more than we are. Amen.